Journalism has rarely been as dangerous as it is in today's Syria, where years of civil war have torn the country to pieces. Since 2011, hundreds of journalists, many of them non-professional, so-called citizen journalists, have been killed in Syria, having risked their lives to tell the story of the horror they witness every day. A group of them, calling Raqqa as being slaughtered silently, was given the International Press Freedom Award in 2015 and the 2016 Civil Courage Prize for its efforts to document human rights abuses in that city. Their story is told in the documentary City of Ghosts, which will be screened tomorrow evening at the Honolulu Museum of Art. Nandita Sharma is an associate professor of racism, migration, and transnationalism in the Department of Sociology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa and a member of Hawaii J20, the group sponsoring the screening. She's with us in our studio. Hi, Nandita. Thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here.
What's the situation in the city of Raqqa today?
Well, it goes from worse to worse. You know, Raqqa has been under siege since at least 2013 by bombardments by the Syrian regime, mm-hmm. Followed by the occupation of Raqqa by ISIS, which declared it its headquarters for its caliphate. And then subsequently, as that is all continuing, the U.S., in the name of fighting terrorism, has bombarded it as well. And this organization that is featured in the film, Raqqa is Being Slaughtered Silently, has documented widespread civilian deaths as a result of U.S. strikes.
Documented how?
It's very interesting because they have worked in a situation of absolute secrecy.
Yeah.
ISIS actually, when they occupied the city, declared that it was illegal to transmit images and news via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They shut down cell phone access to the population, to the civilian population in Raqqa. So this organization had to figure out how to get satellite-operated phones with, you know, gasoline-powered generators. And surreptitiously, you know, while they're riding around on their motorbikes, walking down the street,
mm-hmm.
With their cell phones, you know, very basic technology, try and upload that and get that out to the world's media.
The equipment, part of it is small, mobile, easy to conceal equipment, but not that easy. If you get caught with any of these pieces of equipment, you're going to get killed, right?
Absolutely. And at least 14 members of Raqqa is Being Slaughtered Silently have already been murdered by ISIS.
And yet their efforts continue. What kind of mechanisms do they use? And has the, you know, the fact that they've become a celebrated international organization, has that drawn fire to them within the city?
Absolutely. I mean, they're under fire by ISIS. They're under fire by Assad's regime because they also are opponents of that regime.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, faithfully documenting the U.S. airstrikes. So they seem to have absolutely no friends in terms of who has power in Raqqa right now. So they are absolutely reliant on anonymity. They don't put their names on their reports.
Mm-hmm.
They report through the name of the organization. And they rely on other media around the world to pick it up and share it. I mean, they do have a website, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, fortunately we are now in a time where websites are a source of news for a lot
mm-hmm.
of people, but they also have been able to feed other media who, frankly, are not in Raqqa because it is far too dangerous.
The days when mainstream media had correspondents on the ground all over the world are pretty much gone, and there's a lot of reliance on local sources just anywhere.
Yeah, and the world is not a better place for that.
No, it's most assuredly not. Do you know, the New York Times, Reuters, do they pick up on what they get from Raqqa is Being Slaughtered Silently?
Yeah, they do. You know, the problem, of course, with reputable news outlets is they do need to verify the news. So
yeah.
In a situation like Raqqa, that becomes very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been able to manage to do that in some ways, which is remarkable to me.
Has there been much in the way of first-person testimony by the citizen journalists as to what it's like to be doing this?
They have been able to do that once they've left Raqqa. You know, 14 members have already been killed.
Right.
The rest of them live in fear of their lives. Some of them have become refugees. One of the founders of Raqqa is being slaughtered silently, lives here in the United States, was able to enter the U.S. before Trump's Muslim ban, mm-hmm. So was able to get refugee status here. Others live in European states where they've been able to gain asylum. And at that point, they're able to talk. But even still, ISIS has followed them to Germany, to the United States. They get death threats. They get, you know, emails with photos of their apartment doors, their faces, wow. themselves entering their apartments, mm-hmm. saying, "We know where you live." You know, so this is incredibly. This is probably the most dangerous reporting in the world right now.
It certainly sounds it, and yet the world has no shortage of places where it is a risk of your life to become an international journalist.
Absolutely.
In your work at your age, in what you teach, you tell students about the refugee crises around the world. Prior to your telling them about it, do they know much about it?
Well, unfortunately, Syria has been a major victim of what we now call fake news. Mm-hmm. And it's coming from all sides. It's coming from the Syrian regime, which labels any opposition to it as a terrorist. Anyone opposing Assad is labeled a terrorist by the Assad regime. And unfortunately, that gets picked up by others. You know, here in Hawaii, we have Congressperson Tulsi Gabbard, who has essentially said the same thing, that Assad must stay in power because everyone else is a terrorist. That gets picked up by people like Donald Trump, who says, well, we can't let Syrians into the United States because they're all terrorists. So we're in a situation right now where we have a complete and total ban on people entering from Syria into the United States precisely at the moment when Syria is the world's number one refugee-producing state, which is unbelievable to me that we cannot see that people fleeing terror need asylum and they need our help, and instead we've just labeled them terrorists. And I think that is a direct result of fake news.
Well, I wonder, you know, just thinking about the number of displaced persons around the world, we hear about the Rohingya in Myanmar, 400,000 have fled across the border. I mean, how many refugee crises are there in the world today?
The
Congo, right?
It's the worst since World War II. You know, it is absolutely, the numbers of people fleeing for their lives is as bad as the people that were fleeing the enormous violence of World War II.
And when virtually every continent of the world was embroiled in conflict.
That's right.
That really does put it in perspective, you know.
Yeah, this is not the moment to shut the doors to refugees.
Well, at the same time, going back to what you said about fake news, this is hardly the first time that, the Second World War was full of propaganda,
right,
on all sides. And that's not that different from fake news, right?
Absolutely.
Why is it so much worse today? What has changed?
I think what has changed is that the places that the fake news is coming from presents itself in ways that reflect your own the personal beliefs that you already hold. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I've seen even anti-war activists in Hawaii say that Assad, who is a dictator, must stay in power. And that is shocking to me. And where those people are getting their news is largely from Russian news sites. Russia has a major stake in Syria. Mm-hmm. They are major backers of the Assad regime. And they say that Assad is legitimate and must be kept in there, and it's American imperialism that wants him out. So then you have people who want to hear that go, well, that's the real news, instead of actually figuring out what's going on. And what is left out of that are the actual voices of people in Syria.
If you want to hear it, you're going to believe it. That's the thing that drives fake news.
Right.
Nandita, we have to go, but thank you very much for coming in. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, and we hope to see you at the film.
Nandita Sharma is an associate professor of sociology at UH Manoa, member of Hawaii J20, the group sponsoring the screening of the film City of Ghosts, a documentary that follows the journey of Raqqa is being slaughtered silently, a group of citizen journalists who banded together after Raqqa, Syria, was taken over by ISIS in 2014. It will be screened for a week starting tomorrow evening at the Honolulu Museum of Art's Doris Duke Theater.
Support for today's programming comes from Maui Arts and Cultural Center, presenting Shank's Mare, a performance combining Japanese traditional puppetry and live video projection, 7:30 p.m. this Friday at Castle Theater, mauiarts.org.